2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18, Paul is writing, and we're just picking up in the middle of a passage for our text this evening. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given, everybody say given, given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed, everybody say committed, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. For a little while this evening, I want to teach on this thought, continuing what we started Sunday, the significance of serving in Christ's stead. The significance of serving on his behalf. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to echo, thank, and say thank you to everyone serving in ministry everywhere at Atlanta West Pentecostal Church. And say thank you to those of you who serve in organizations and endeavors around our city that are not necessarily a part of our church, but are advancing the kingdom and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sunday, as we honored some who for lifetime achievement and second mile spirit, Pastor John's preached on the search for significance. If you were not here, I would encourage you to go back and to listen or to watch it. If you're joining us online and we're not joining us Sunday, then you should go back and watch or listen to that sermon. Matthew 16 and 24, I want to repeat it again here at the beginning of our time together this evening. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life is going to lose it, and whoever is willing to lose his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You and I can search all over, high and low, inwardly and outwardly, but true significance and meaning can only be found in Jesus Christ. That is the conclusive answer of the Bible and of life experience for so many of us. But according to Jesus, living a life of significance looks like and includes denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following after him. In other words, true significance is found in Jesus Christ and in serving in his stead. That Jesus alone is the source of our meaning and our mission. That we are not just aimlessly wandering through life. That we have purpose. That we matter. That we have meaning in our existence. And that meaning is inseparably intertwined in our mission to serve in Christ's stead. What does that look like? What does it mean to serve in Christ's stead? Well, we could go to many passages in the Bible, but probably best to start with the example of Jesus himself. At the very onset of his public ministry, Jesus quoted the prophet Isaiah, and he used that quotation to describe his ministry this way in Luke 4 and 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That was the opening mission statement of Jesus Christ. And that redemptive mission that he just described led him to many people, multitudes, and those all alone. And it would lead him to Zacchaeus, who was a corrupt but wealthy tax collector for Rome. And therefore, Zacchaeus was despised and pretty much hated by his fellow Jewish brothers and sisters. But when Jesus came his way, Jesus saw him and Jesus called him and Jesus reconciled him. And when he had met with him in his house, Jesus said this in Luke 19 and 9, "Today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's the heartbeat of God. That's the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we serve in his stead. Jesus' declaration on that day of his divine intent should not have surprised them. When we read it in Luke 19, at this point in Luke's Gospels, we should not be surprised that Jesus would answer and declare this, because he's already taught and Luke's already captured these three amazing stories in Luke 15 where Jesus is revealing to his critics and to his disciples, "This is my purpose." You may already know them in your mind. Luke 15, the first story is about, of course, the shepherd. He has 100 sheep, 99 are fine, one has been lost in the wilderness, and what does the shepherd do? He securely leaves the 99, and he seeks the missing sheep. And Luke 15 and 6 says that when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost." So if you want to know the mission of Jesus Christ, his ministry and the Gospels reveal to us his mission. He's like the shepherd. He's come to seek out sheep that are lost. And then there's the second story, the woman who loses one of her 10 silver coins. And maybe one of those coins could have been worth a day's wage. However you look at it, 10 of them was a sizable savings for this lady, and she loses the coin in her own house. You ever lost something in your home before the little Apple tag came along? Don't have one of those? Not yet. I might need one. So this lady painstakingly scours her house looking for the lost coin, and Jesus tells this story that when she finds it in verse 9, that she calls her friends and she calls her neighbors together and she says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece that I lost." Now, critics would look at this story and say, "This makes no sense. She probably paid more for the party than the coin that she lost." But the whole point is that the value of the coin is in the eyes of the beholder. And it doesn't matter how much it costs, Jesus is seeking every lost coin, and to him, they are worth it all, and he paid all for that coin. And then the third story, a father devises estate between his two sons, and he ends up losing them both. One of them flees to a far country, wastes his inheritance, and we call him the prodigal. But the other flees to the far fields of the estate and wastes his relationship. And both are absent from the father's house. And yet Jesus tells this story that the prodigal comes home. And what happens in verse 20? And the prodigal arose, came to his father. When the prodigal was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And that was quite a party that began to happen in that home. But just as the party was getting going, the other estranged son shows up. He is just as broken and but bitter. And guess what? The father comes out for this son as well and invites him into the party. And Jesus just leaves it to us to wonder what happens. And maybe it was so that you would ask yourself, what will you do? Will you come into the party and celebrate with the prodigal? So preaching the gospel healing the brokenhearted, proclaiming liberty to the bound, seeking the lost one that is far away, seeking the lost one that is near, and welcoming home the prodigal and the estranged. This is what it looks like to serve in Christ's stead. I know you've heard it before. I know you and believe that you do believe it. But we need to remind ourselves that our existence is not as a wandering soul, that we have purpose and we have belonging and we have meaning, and what you do matters and where you serve matters, for you are serving in Christ's stead, and that makes you significant. May not believe that yet, so we're not done. Just prior to his crucifixion, Jesus gives us another example of what it looks like to serve. In John 13 and 12, Jesus, he has washed the disciples' feet. I don't really have to explain that, but mud and animals and what animals do, walking on sandals equals dirty feet. Simple enough. So the lowest of the low were assigned to wash dirty feet. And yet on this night, it is the divine creator who created the dirt and the donkeys and the people and the mess. God stoops down and washes their feet. And verse 12 says that when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, he sat down again and he said to them, "Do you know what I just did to you? What I have done? You call me teacher, and you call me Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. For if I then, your Lord, if I then, your teacher, have washed your feet," nobody on earth likes this next phrase, "you ought to wash one another's feet." And most every church on the planet has explained that away to mean everything but what it says. But it is what it is. "For I have given you," Jesus said, "an example that" what? "You should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, disciples, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent them. So if I will stoop down to serve you guys, then what makes you think that you're above serving one another? You're not bigger and badder than me." That's what Jesus is saying. Verse 17, "If you know these things, guys, blessed are you if you" what? "Do them." So no wonder the New Testament is replete with all of the one another commands that we like to read and quote and preach on, because they are simply replicating the example that Jesus modeled. He served his disciples, and then he commissioned us as his disciples to serve one another in his stead. You know them. Jesus said, "Love" what? "As yourself." Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, "Love one another." Look at somebody across the way and say, "That's you." You know, I didn't even ask you if you liked them or not. I just said, "Love one another, that's you." Paul wrote to the Corinthians in his first letter, "Care for one another." I'm talking about the significance of serving in Christ's stead this evening. Care for one another. Paul wrote the Galatians, "Bear one another's burdens." Not my business. Not my bad day. I'm not sick. Bear one another's what? Burdens. Ephesians 4 and 2 is hard. "Forgive one another." Paul told the Ephesians in that same passage, "Be patient with one another." It's really good. I'm just thinking about living that out. Sorry, preaching to myself. Be kind to one another. You know, it's okay to smile occasionally. My face does not naturally go this way into a smile. I have to intentionally think about smile, David. Okay? But it's okay to smile at someone and make their day. You know, like me, if you smile, people just fall out. They're like, my God, he smiled. Right? Be kind to one another. Submit to one another. That is hard. Submit to one another. Then Paul told the Colossians, here's another one. Forbear one another. We've not really dealt with this in quite a few years, but if you can remember back when we talked through some one another's, Brother Joel teaching on this, that in forbearing one another, this is not just putting up with people you don't like. This is ascribing value while you put up with people that are on your last nerve. That's something different. Not only do I have to put up with you, I have to give value to you. That is what it means to serve in Christ's stead. Yeah. Mm. Then we are to comfort one another. We are to encourage one another. We are to show hospitality to one another. And we are to pray for one another, James commanded us. All of these passages and all of the one another passages represent what it looks like to serve in Christ's stead. It is seeking the lost. It is welcoming home the prodigal. It is trying to reconcile the estranged, but it is also serving one another. I can't explain God's rationale this evening. I would have chosen another way. I would not have trusted people like me. But God, in his infinite wisdom, chose not only to redeem us from our sins, but God chose, you didn't choose this. You didn't choose your calling. You didn't choose your ministry. You didn't choose your giftings. God chose you. He chose to redeem you, and he chose to commission you to carry out his work with all of your baggage, with all of your struggles, with your resume, with all of your hang-ups, with all of your insecurities. God chose you. And regardless of how you feel, and regardless of what you think, God has entrusted his eternal work into our hands. God, it doesn't matter whether you feel significant. It doesn't matter if you think you're significant. The truth of the Word of God is God has chosen to place his eternal work in your feeble hands, and that means you matter to God. Jesus said, Matthew 28 and 18, Jesus came and spoke to them. This is at the end. The death, burial, resurrection has happened. He is with his disciples, and he is about to ascend to heaven. And Jesus said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, here's what you're to do. Go, therefore, and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, let me remind you, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let it be, so be it. Amen, Jesus said. That is our assignment. That is our mission. That is the significance of serving in Christ's stead. That I am loving you and I am caring for you. That I am welcoming home the backslider. That I am seeking to reconcile the estranged. That I am reaching for the lost. And that I am desperately searching for everything separated from God. And all of that underlies and is encapsulated in our text in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5. And we will start now in verse 14. And Paul says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So if you've been born again of water and spirit, you now exist for his good pleasure. And you exist to serve in his stead. You are significant. Paul would continue, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh in our past, he's saying, yet now we know him thus no longer. This means, Paul is saying, hey, since we have been resurrected with him, we don't evaluate others based on our perspective, but we evaluate based on Christ's perspective, because we now live unto him. If we were living unto ourselves, we would rule that one off and we would say, you don't qualify and you're too bad and you're too broken and you're too far removed. But we don't evaluate with human perspective. Paul says we evaluate with the perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive me for a little side excursion, but in preparing, I couldn't help. I love this passage. You go to 1 Corinthians, Paul's first letter in chapter 6 and verse 9, and Paul says, hey, sport, hey, brothers and sisters, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That's human perspective. But Paul writes, and such were some of you, but you were washed, and you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And because of that, we have a new perspective that no matter where you fall on that list of sins or any list of sins, that such were some of us and such you are, but as we have been redeemed, you can be redeemed. And that leads us back to his second letter. 2 Corinthians 5 and 18, continuing back where our passage is, Paul writes and continues, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. God has given you the ministry of reconciliation. Say, that's me. Verse 19, and that is, Paul's going to explain it further because some of you had a hard time saying it. That is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has what? Committed to us, say that's me, the word of reconciliation. Paul's going to continue. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Paul could not be any clearer that God has given you and given you and given all of us a valuable, eternal, significant work of his kingdom. And that work is, as Paul said, as though God were pleading through our lives and through our actions and through our attitude and through our appearance and through our testimony. God is pleading and we implore on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That is our goal. That is our meaning. That is our mission, that every human being on the planet would be reconciled into a right relationship with Jesus Christ. whether they are a million miles away or whether they are sitting next to you, whether they are here in the house or they are lost in the wilderness. We are ambassadors for Christ, and that is the significance of serving in Christ's stead. So my brothers and sisters, your life is not a pointless journey through time. You were created for more than merely surviving the human race. You were designed for more than an aimless existence like a nomad. You were gifted for more than self-consumption. You and I have been reconciled to God. We have been transformed from a sinner that God seeks into a saint that God sends. And that makes you valuable. And that makes you matter. And that makes you significant. The significance of serving in Christ's stead. You've been entrusted to do God's work on this earth. You may not feel significant. You may not think your ministry is or your giftings are significant. But have you been kind to a brother or sister? Have you encouraged a brother or sister? Have you shown hospitality to a brother or sister? Have you prayed for a brother or sister? And if you have, you have acted on God's behalf to care for his people. And that is not insignificant. And that is not inconsequential. You are doing the eternal work of God's kingdom every time you pray, every time you're kind, every time you forgive, every time you're hospitable, every time you encourage. No one may ever know. You may have not felt chill bumps down your spine, but you are anointed of God. You are chosen of God. You are valuable. You matter, and you're doing a significant work for the kingdom. Have you ever reached out to a former believer, a backslider, someone who's abandoned the house of the Lord or abandoned their faith? Have you ever welcomed them back into your home? Have you ever welcomed them as they come into the lobby like they had never left? Have you prayed for them? Have you helped them reacclimate to finding their place in the kingdom after they have utterly shipwrecked their life? And if you've ever done that, then you have acted on God's behalf by opening your arms to a prodigal and welcoming them home with love and compassion. And my brothers and sisters, every time you are a part of the restoration of a backslider, you are doing an eternally significant work, and it matters to God, and you matter. Have you ever shared your testimony? Have you ever told anybody of the joy and the hope and the goodness and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? Someone who did not know him for themselves, a lost person, a sinner. Have you ever invited them for coffee? Have you ever brought them into your home? Have you ever taught a personal home Bible study? Have you ever served the homeless or the hungry? Have you ever sought to give a Take-Two card to somebody you've never met? If so, you have acted on God's behalf to seek and to save the lost, and that is eternally significant to God. Do you serve on one of our Street the Seat service support teams? Do you care for babies so that parents can connect with God? Do you hopefully practice at home and arrive early for sound check to help usher us into a time of worship? Do you greet guests and follow up with them if they sat in your area? Do you clean between services? Do you set out hospitality for volunteers? Do you drive a bus? Do you put lyrics on the screen? If so, you are acting on God's behalf to accomplish his divine purpose and his eternal mission, and that means you matter. You are significant in Jesus Christ, and you are significant in doing and in serving in Christ's stead. What am I saying tonight? You matter. Your ministry matters. Your serving the Lord is significant. And your reward is great. Paul said to the Colossians, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Jesus is interacting with his disciples. Peter, being Peter, is worried about sacrifice and says, see, we've left all and follow you. What shall we have? Jesus said to them, really specifically now to his disciples, surely I say to you that in the regeneration or the resurrection, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones and judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's pretty cool. But now verse 29, hear this. And everyone, say everyone. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. So that's why Paul would write the Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, Paul says, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. If you're able, please stand. You and I, you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and everyone watching us online, have been entrusted by God to do his marvelous, eternal work. The significance of serving in his stead is to care and serve and love for the believers and for one another, and to welcome home the prodigals, and to seek to reconcile the estranged, and to seek those who are separated from God. You are significant. And when you serve the Lord in his name, you are doing a significant work. And I'm grateful. I'm just grateful that God is God. I wouldn't have designed it this way, but God chose to use people like you and me to accomplish the eternal, matchless work of the kingdom of God. And I just have a sense that this evening, as we gather, if you're able, you can join me up front. I just have this sense that the Lord would just like to come beside you tonight, and he would just like to strengthen you. The Lord would like to encourage you. The Lord would like to maybe refresh you this evening.